Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Good afternoon. This is Apostle Willie Ann Miller. We thank and praise the Lord for this day. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. And I don't know about you, but I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. I'm glad to be among the living and not the dead. I pray and trust that you had a glorious and a victorious weekend. And I just thank you. I pray that everyone is praying for Israel and what's going on over there. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I am so glad to be in the kingdom of God. I am so glad to be a son of God because the Bible says as many is led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And I just want to say thank you, Father, for the day that Jesus came. Thank you, Jesus, that you came in obedience to the Father, and I thank you, Jesus, for your redemption. I thank you because of your redemption work, Jesus. I have a relationship with the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and Holy Spirit. I just thank you, Father, today. I thank God for watching over his word to perform it. I thank God even for in St. John, the first chapter, when it said, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. I thank you for the word that Jesus is the word. Jesus said, I am the truth, I'm the way. And I just thank you so much, Jesus, for giving your life. I thank you that the blood of Jesus that continue to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, I just praise you and I bless you right now. Listen, wherever you at may be, and if you done tune into this broadcast, you know, even if you're driving, you got to stay focused. But still, can you just have a little pause and just tell him thank you? I thank and praise the Lord because God is faithful. He can be trusted. And, you know, I thank and praise the Lord that I can trust him. I thank you for the spirit enlightenment and understanding. Oh, I bless the Lord and I praise him. Right now, great, the Bible said, great is his faithfulness towards us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We send a shout out to Apostle Armstrong, and we thank and praise the Lord for what he's doing in his body. We command every symptom that is affecting his body right now. We bind it, and we loose his body from it because it is written, for Jesus himself took all of those symptoms. He bore it by his stripes, and we command healing to be in the name of Jesus. I thank God to restore his strength right now in the master's name of Jesus. And I just roll that care Israel on the Lord. I don't know all that's happening and why it's happening, but Father, I roll this care on you. And I trust Israel. I trust both sides, the Israel and their enemy. I trust it to you, Father. Because, Father, you just do everything right. And, Father, I thank you now for intervening in the situation. I thank you for it right now in the master's name of Jesus. I even lift up those that done lost loved ones in the midst of this. I pray, Father, that you strengthen their family. I pray, God, that you would give them grace to continue with life. And I pray if the ones that don't know Jesus, I don't know him, the part of their sin. They don't know him. I don't have a relationship. I pray, Father, that you will send a labor through their past to witness to them, that they'll receive your word, Father, in the name of Jesus. You said in your word, God, it's appointed unto man once to die and after that to judgment. And I pray that you will put people in their past if they don't know you, that they'll receive Jesus, so they can spend eternity with you. Not only that, Father, but Father, I pray, help all us to realize it's life after death. It's life after, once we leave this side, it's eternal life. Help us, Father. Help us, remind us, alert us that we all have appointment with death. And after that, it's the judge. Help us to take it serious. That wherever we go from here, we're going to sit there. Bring conviction and enlightenment. Here's a heaven and here's a hell. Help us, Father. The psalmist said, help me to know that my days are numbered. Oh, Father, I thank you and I praise you for it right now. I thank you for the broadcast. I thank you for those that are going to tune in, Father. I trust that the Holy Spirit will bring enlightenment and understanding and encouragement to those that tune in. I even pray and trust the Holy Spirit that he will bring conviction as well. In the Master's name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. Again, as I stated, we've been talking about at first that we start to, do you really believe? And we found out, and I'm going to continue with this. We ministered on yesterday, and I'm just fair led to even, you know, share some of what God gave us. We're talking about, do you really believe? And I'm finding out as we continue with this and ask the Lord continue to show me, when we said, do you really believe? But, you know, we also, it's two sides to believing. We don't only believe in God, but we also have to trust in who we believe. And because the Bible says the devil believe and he tremble. And so there too, again, anytime we believe in someone, we trust ain't too far away. It's hard to say you believe in someone, and you, if you truly believe in them, it's got to be some trust somewhere. Trust, you can't separate believing and trust. Now, to a certain degree, the devil do believe that Jesus exists. They believe in the redemption. They believe in all of that. But when it comes down to action and operating in that, they don't. But we as born-again believers, the Bible tells us that he that believes, he that come to God must believe that God is, and God is the reward of those that diligently seeketh him. So there too, again, I look at this from a twofold. And we were talking about how that our faith can be contaminated. Our faith can be contaminated by fear, offenses, doubt, and unbelief. And the Bible tells us it's impossible to please God without faith. Now, in John the 16th chapter, the Bible, Jesus told us, he said, now in this world, you're going to have trouble. And y'all, we seeing a lot of trouble, a lot of sorrow is happening on this earth. But we as born-again believers, we got to be steadfast in our faith. We got to know how to endure hardness, as Paul told Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier. Other words, I believe what he was telling him, in the hard time, keep the faith. Keep the confidence. Keep your trust in the Lord. Don't allow trouble to cause you to cast away your confidence and even get offended with God. Amen? Because when John the Baptist, I'm going to go there. When John the Baptist had got a revelation from God who Jesus was. But immediately, even after that, a couple of days after when he went to prison, when John went to prison, I don't know, I'm kind of trying to understand, but when John went to prison, John began to allow himself to get, I believe he got offended because what John did, he sent his disciples and told them to see what Jesus the one. Amen. He sent his disciples and told his disciples to ask and see, is he the one, or shall they sin for another? Amen. Two again. After John went in prison, John began to allow himself. It's in Matthew, the 11th chapter. After John was when he was in prison, and John heard about Christ, the Bible says he sent his disciples, and he began to. That told the ask and see what Jesus the one. Now John was the one that God had revealed to him who Jesus was, because the Bible said when he approached, when Jesus was approaching John to be baptized, he said, "Behold, the Lamb that take away the world's sin." He had a revelation even after Jesus came up, that a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son." So there too again, but the thing about it, when pressure, when trouble comes, and y'all, as I stated, we in the time of trouble and sorrow times on the earth. And not only that, but just because you're a born-again believer, that don't mean we exempted from trouble and sorrow and pain. Please hear me. For a long time, when I first got saved, I thought when I got saved, I was exempted from trouble. I was exempted from pain, conflicts, all that. But I found out that was a misunderstanding. I wasn't excluded from it, but I had to learn how to operate. Then I found out we live in a fallen world. I had to learn how to operate in a fallen world. I had to learn out it was two kingdoms, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of darkness. I had to learn that we was the salt of the earth. I had to learn that I walked by faith and not by sight. All of these things I had to learn through seeking out, according to Matthew 6:33. I had to learn how to develop and walk in the things of God. And it wasn't easy. It didn't happen overnight. It's a forever process, because the Bible said we grow. The Bible said Jesus growed in stature. And we have to grow, you know. But we can only grow if we be steadfast in our relationship with the Lord. We have to learn to do that. We have to learn to do that. And a lot of times, if we not steadfast in our relationship through spending time in prayer, spending time in God's word, yeah, we can miss out on some things. So the thing about it, that's what I'm saying. In Matthew, the 10th chapter, it tells us in that second verse, it said, "Now when John had feared in prison the work of Christ, he said to his disciples and said unto them, Art thou he that shall come, or do we look for another?" I'm talking about how our faith can be contaminated. And right here, I'm going to show you how John's faith had got contaminated with offenses. Listen, offenses is a bait of Satan. And offenses will bring you and I into doubt. It'll bring us into doubt and resentment. Come on, somebody. It'll steal from our faith. It'll cause it to be diluted. You know, anytime something dilutes, you don't have the full effect of it. And that's what the enemy doing, because the enemy know it's impossible to please God without faith. You know, I'm a strong believer, according to the King James Version in Mark 11, when it's to have the faith of God. We all have the God kind of faith. I believe according to Romans, the 12th chapter, in the 3rd verse, God gave all of us the measure of faith. And even Jesus said, I think it's in Matthew, the 17th chapter, it tells us that we all have, if we have faith at the size of the grain of mustard seed, we can teach it. You can speak to this mountain. So I believe all of us have enough faith. God done graced us with enough faith that we can conquer anything, but we got to learn that whenever, whatever comes at us in the natural, we have to apply faith. Apostle John said, he said, what caused us to overcome in this world is our faith, in other words, in Jesus, the finishing work of Christ. So there too again, I'm in that 3rd verse. I'm reading from the King James Version. He said, "He said unto him, Art thou he that shall come, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said unto them, who is to them? He was talking about John the Baptist disciples. He said, "Go and show John again." Listen, he said again. See, John already know this, but John allowed what he was experienced to get in his spirit, suppress him, and torment him, and harass him, and cause him to get offended. Listen, none of us is exempted. I think all of us been there. The enemy going to always be talking at our faith, because he know if he if he can get in our faith and cause our, dilute our faith and contaminate our faith with fear, unbelief, doubt, offenses, he know right there he can cause our faith to not be affected. Remember, James said it effective from the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We have to keep our faith pure. Well, prophet, what you mean? We got to keep offenses. We got to keep fear. We got to keep resentment and all of those things, discouragement. That's why it's so important that we have to keep our faith pure. We can't allow it to be contaminated with all of these things that the enemy used. And right here, I'm going to show you how John the Baptist's faith was contaminated with offenses. He said, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead is raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed, listen what he's saying. That's why I said, I know John got offended. He said, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. I believe that John had allowed himself to get offended with Jesus. Could it be he was offended because Jesus didn't come and check on him while he was in prison? But whatever reason it was, and sometimes we as born-again believers depend upon what kind of situation we might be experiencing or what kind of temptation we experience. We can allow our faith to be contaminated with certain things. And like I said, because the enemy knows, without we believing and trusting in God's ability to do what he said he's going to do, faith to be non-effect. First, he tried to convince us that we don't have faith. Then he'll try to convince us we don't have enough faith. It's amazing how some people, when they're dealing with certain kind of illness, the enemy always, I'm going to say with me. I learned this a lot of times when I was dealing with migraine headaches. Thank be to God. Thank God for healing me. And when I had a disc deteriorating in my back, thank God for a day or two getting healed. But the enemy would try to tell me I didn't have enough faith. And like I said, in Matthew, the 17th chapter, when Jesus talked about, when he rebuked those disciples, he told them in that 20 verse, he said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall, didn't say you might, say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. So there too, again, like I said, the enemy is always targeting our faith. He's trying to get us in doubt and unbelief. I'm telling you, and God take doubt and unbelief serious, y'all. Doubt and unbelief is what in effect caused the children of Israel to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. God had showed himself strong by bringing them out of Egypt. But every time Moses felt led to tell them to do something, the enemy had them fighting against it. Come on, somebody. They were mumbling and grumbling. They were getting offended with Moses. And we have to be careful in this hour and time that we're living in. And listen, God ain't on just talking to you. He's talking to me as well. As long as we on this side, on this earth, it's going to be trials. It's going to be tribulation. It's going to be trouble. It's going to be affliction. It's going to be persecution. Hear what I'm saying? But Jesus done already conquered. He even said in St. John 16, he said, in the world you're going to have trouble, but in me you're going to have peace. And he talked about that peace that on the inside of you, when all chaos and all stuff can be happening all around you, but you have this deep calmness on the inside of you. That's the peace of Christ. That's his peace. That's the kind of peace he'll give you. And sometimes people might have to do like Jesus had to do when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, his flesh. the outward man start being disturbed. But Jesus knows how to keep the outward man in total subjection to the spirit man. So he began to pray. And he even said, pray that you yield not to temptation. And I found out sometime, even before trouble hit, God be not already prepared us if we allow if we listen at the Holy Spirit. What Jesus did, Jesus know it was coming. He know that he was about to be captured. So what did Jesus do? Jesus prayed. He prayed. And he allowed himself to be strengthened. A lot of times, instead of taking the time, the moment you sense it, or you hear in your spirit, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. That trouble is coming. Okay, how do I deal with it? One way is to pray. The Bible, we can pray in our own language, and we can pray in the Holy Spirit, our prayer language. But all of that, because when we pray in our prayer language, it builds us up. But I want to show you what was happening with John. Like I said, he said, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended. John had got offended. And even when he said, in that fourth verse, when in the last part, he said, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. What John had heard about Jesus, it had been revelated to him who Jesus was. And y'all, that, like I said, I'm not trying to be little John here, because guess what? I think all of us been there before. Would you not agree? I don't know about y'all. I done been read what John been. And even the Bible even tells us when we done hear this word, the enemy know that the word of God is packed with power. That's why I said salvation is power to those that believe and receive it. And the enemy is after our faith. Come on, somebody. He after our confidence. He after our trust in what God say. I'm gonna look at this. I'm going to the Amplified, and it say I like my Amplified. I like the Living Bible. You know, and it say in that sixth verse. In Matthew 11 and 6, he said, blessed, happy, and fortunate, and to be envied is he who take no offense at me. Now, that's what the Amplified say. And like I said, John had got offended. And watch it when the enemy try to contaminate your faith and my faith with offenses. Listen what he said. This is what the Amplified say. I'm in Matthew 11 and 6. And blessed, happy, and fortunate, and to be in it is he who takes no offense at me and find no cause for stumbling in or through me and is not hindered from seeing the truth. And as I stated, what the enemy had did, come on, somebody. I'm telling you, this is real. What the enemy had did, he had troubled John about Jesus. I'm sure he had injected thoughts about I'm paraphrasing it compared to sometimes some of the things I experienced. You know, you ever done experienced something, or better yet, going through to come to, but the enemy will tell you what God is. Why God ain't doing this? Why God ain't doing that? What he's doing, the Bible tells us in St. John, the 10th chapter, he said, the thief comes before only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And like I said, if he can cause us to open up to doubt and unbelief, guess what? Our faith is not going to be affected. I got my Living Bible. I want to read that sixth verse from the Living. I'm in Matthew 11 and 6. Matthew 11 and 6, where it's about the same thing it did in the camp. And tell him, God bless those who are not offended by me. And like I said, John had got offended. John was offended. He got offended with Jesus. And y'all, a lot of times, we got to keep our faith pure. The Bible tells us, I think it's in Hebrews, the 4th chapter. It said that the same gospel were preached to us as it was to our ancestors, but they didn't mix faith with it. It didn't profit them nothing. Well, I'm going to tell you, you and I both got to learn when trouble happened. We got to learn how to mix faith. We got to mix our confidence with what we said we believe. You know, y'all, we ain't going to always understand the why behind things. That's the time. And I found out when I don't understand, I have to go into trust mode. When I find myself wanting to get offended, I got to go into trust mode. I have to do that. I found that out. You have to shift. Now, I don't only believe you, God, but I'm going to trust you. I got some scriptures, and let's go to Psalm 56. Psalm 56 and 11. And there, too, again, the word trust, it means to believe, confidence, and have faith and hope. Psalm 56 and 11. Psalm 56 and 11. I thank God for the Bible that it is written, that we can go read it now. I read a lot from the King James Version. I read a lot from the Living and the Amplified. But I thank God that we have the word, that we can read it and allow the Holy Spirit to bring enlightenment and understanding. And I'm telling you, if you're not a student of the word, please, please come to be a student of the word and pray and ask the Lord. God told us to open up the eyes of my understanding. I want to see, and I promise you he'll help you. And in Psalm 56, in that 11th verse, now, if you read that whole chapter, David was dealing with his enemies. David was dealing with his enemies. And in the midst of all of that, in that fourth verse, Psalm 56, David talk about his enemy, and I'm gonna read a little bit of it. Okay, Psalm 56. This would be the first verse. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man will swallow me up. He fighteth daily, oppresses me. I'm in Psalm 56, second verse. My enemy would daily swallow me up. For they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. See, David were dealing with the Philistines. You know, they took David into captivity. And see, that's why I thank and praise the Lord that we can go back and read the word and listen at their experience. Some of the things that they experienced, and it can really help us in life. Then it go on down. He said, what time I'm afraid I will trust in thee. Now, also in Matthew, the 8th chapter, it talk about when Jesus told the disciples, let's go to the other side, and how fear, their faith, were contaminated with. See, faith have enemies. I had to learn that. Faith ain't going to just order. The enemy is not going to just automatically allow your faith and my faith to be affected. He always trying to find a way or get a hook in there that try to keep our faith from operating in the full effect that it's supposed to. Faith has enemies. And the number one enemy is doubt and unbelief. That's why I'm going back and reading the four gospels, and I'm seeing how many times Jesus would tell them not to fear. He would talk about unbelief a lot because they allow their faith to be contaminated with fear. In Matthew, the 8th chapter, in that 23rd verse, when he told them that let's go to the other side, their faith was contaminated with fear. John's faith was contaminated with offenses. And what that did, it caused John to cast away his company. It caused him to forget about everything. He forgot about the revelation, the reality that God revealed to him about Jesus. But you know, the way Jesus responded to John, bless me, he responded with mercy. He said, go back and tell him again. And see, John already know who he was. Jesus didn't get mad. Why should I reassure you? Ain't that the mercy of God? God is so merciful and so patient with us. But then he go on and said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. You know, I don't know about you. It have been time that I allow myself, and I learned that fear is part of life. From time to time, fear going to show up when certain things happen in our life. But we have the remote. We have the control. We is supposed to control our fear, that fear, when it show up, it won't stop our faith from being affected. I want you to hear me. And this is so important. I don't know about you. One time I lived it on Fear Avenue, our fear of people, you know. I would fear anybody in authority. I wouldn't take the step of faith. I wouldn't latch out. I'm talking about me. And God delivered me from it. And God showed me in them areas where I was allowing fear. The Bible said the fear of man is a snare. And fear would keep us out of opportunities from God. Fear will keep us from reaping. Other words, seeing God manifest itself in a way we never know. But anyway, he said, my enemy would daily swallow me up, but they be many that fight against me. Oh, thy most holy. Hey, listen, whether your enemy, many or few, we got to really be fully persuaded that God got me. And as he said in Romans, Paul said, and we know. Now, if you know that you love God, if you know that you're doing everything to the best of your ability to be all and do what God wants you to do, well, when trouble hits, God will give you peace. And God will cause that thing to work together for your good. Now, it might not come suddenly. It might not come immediately. But you need to know. And y'all, I'm telling you, even when Jesus told them disciples, let us go, he didn't say let them go by themselves. He said, let us go. He was with them. And we got to always be mindful and conscious that God is with us wherever we go, whatever we do. The Spirit of God is on the inside of us. He's speaking. The Holy Spirit going to lead. And y'all, let me tell you, it been times when trouble hit, I forget about the Lord. I be so focused on what I'm facing or what I'm dealing with, what I'm hearing. Sometimes you can be so focused on the negative. You forget all about the positive. You forget all about what God said. Paul said to the Philippians, he said, think on these things. And a lot of times, the wrong thing to think about when you're dealing with any kind of adversity, trouble, affliction, or sorrow, the wrong thing to think about is what you feel. Because if your emotions are reason you out or cause you to forget, catch away everything God says. Okay? But he gone down. He said, what time? Look at that third verse. I'm in Psalm 56 and 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. So he let me know, in the midst of fear, I can just get over it. I'm still going to trust God. I'm still going to trust you, God. Hey, don't make sense. I don't know why this happened to me or what's going on. Because a lot of times when trouble comes, the enemy try to get us in reason. And he suggests a thought. What if? What God? Why does? And like I said, I don't know, but it have been time I was offended with God. And it was because I took my eyes off of what his word say about him. Instead of meditating and thinking on what God's word, I took my eyes off of that. And I begin to think on what the enemy, I thought about the negative, and I got offended with God. God, why you didn't show? Why you didn't do this? Why you didn't do this here? And I found out I had the biggest problem. My problem was I forgot about what I did know. I forgot about the revelation, what God had revealed to me. And I put my whole focus on what was being done, how it was being done, and what was being said. And right there, my faith was contaminated with it. And you see where we're going with this? Then he go in the fourth verse. He said, God, I will praise his word, and God, I will put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. And a lot of times, if flesh is involved, and I think it's in Jeremiah, 17:5, Jeremiah tell us not to put our trust in man. And a lot of times, if the enemy uses people to bring the fear, we got to switch over and say, I will not. And this is what David was saying, because he was dealing with men. His fear was coming from men. They were causing it. He said, but I will fear. He said, in God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrestle my words, all their thoughts against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mock my steps. When they wait for my soul, shall they escape my iniquity? And thy anger cast down the peoples of God. Thou tellest my wondering, but thou my tears into bottles are they not in the book. When I cried unto thee, then shall my enemy turn back. He was talking about the Lord. Then I know, for God is for me. And I found in every experience, when trouble, sorrow, a persecution come, I come to the realization that the Lord is with me. But I found out that in some areas of my life, I had lack of faith. And y'all, it's so important. When we hear the word of God, we got to mix faith with it. I believe it's your word, God. I'm going to trust your word. I'm going to do what your words say. Jesus told disciples, he said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and life. I'm reminded the Bible tells us about Abraham's faith. Do you not know Abraham was fully persuaded what God promised? Abraham had the kind of relationship with God. He knows and understands God's integrity, God's loyalty. God even said that in Psalms 119, he said a word, I won't break my covenant, alter the things that go out of my mouth. And I find out through trouble, adversity, when we stand firm in what God's word said, we can come to the point that we can say, I'm fully persuaded. Now, I find out in some areas of your life, you can be persuaded in one area and not persuaded in the other area. But I'm telling you, as the time draw nigh for Jesus to come, no, trouble going to increase. Sorrow going to increase. I want you to hear me. But guess what? That's why you and I need to really come to be a student of the word. We got to do what Joshua would say. We got to really meditate in the word of God day and night. So whatever the enemy, whatever come our way, we can say, and David said, and he went on to say, in God will I praise his word, and the Lord will I praise his word. We need God's word, and we need to keep on praising him. I don't know about you. Sometimes I have experienced some trouble or trying or being persecuted. I didn't want to praise God. My flesh didn't want to praise. My flesh wanted to go into that sorrow mode. Oh, me, poor me, why me? And I had to begin to encourage. David even said, I have to encourage myself in the Lord. Well, how you encourage yourself? By saying what God's word say. Father, I thank you. I praise you. Your word is true. You say you'll never leave me, nor will you forsake me. I thank you. And I want to praise you for deliverance. Because, Father, you said you'll cause everything to work together for my good. I want to praise you, Father, because you said you would not allow me to be tempted above that I'm able to bear. I want to praise you because the greater one is on the inside of me. I want to thank you that your faith that you put in me, the God kind of faith, going to cause me to conquer. It's going to cause me to overcome. And, y'all, see, that's why we have to open our mouth and begin to declare and confess what the word of God say about it. And what that do, that begin to stir you up, that begin to call the spirit of God on the inside of you to rise to the surface. Believe it or not, what we think on, what we constantly thinking on and constantly focusing on, it'll change your desires. It'll either change it for the good or change it for the worse. Okay? And he gone, and also I'm reading, we still read it in Psalm 56. Look at that 11th verse. It's, in God have I put my trust. I would not be afraid for what man can do unto me. Thy vows upon me, O God, I will render praise unto thee. For thou have delivered my soul from death. Will not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of living? Now, see, David there, too, he would tell, but David was encouraging himself, and I'm telling you, we have to do the same. Okay, now we're going to go to Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. Hallelujah. What we talking about? You got to keep your, it's up to you and I to keep our faith pure. We can't allow our faith to be contaminated with fear, with pressure. Come on. Because all it want to do is pull us a tape from us. Amen. We got to keep that faith and that confidence. Amen, somebody. We got to keep. Now, here, Jeremiah. Here, Jeremiah. I'm in Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. And at that time, Jeremiah was, you know, indicted the nation for his great weakness. The people's sin was so deeply. But there, too, again, Jeremiah, as a prophet of God, he was speaking. One of my notes, in my notes, it said, those who trust sinner is in themselves and in human resource are destined for disappointment. And there, too, again, before we all got born again, we was independent of God. It was all about us. Well, let me back up. Before I got saved, it was all about me. My trust, my whole confidence was in me. Yeah, I had some trust with certain people, but for the most of it, I was my own king. You know, it was, you know, I'm trusting in me. I did not know nothing about commit my ways unto the Lord, also trust in him. Lean not to my own understanding, but acknowledge him in all my ways. I didn't know how to do that. I didn't know how to fully rely and trust God. But I promise you, when you start experiencing trouble, well, when I did as a born-again believer, and I'm still learning how to totally rely and trust the Lord. Because when trouble hit, you have to really switch focus, God. And you know, a lot of times people say, it don't take all that confessing the scripture. Well, for me it does. Maybe it don't for you. When I start saying what the words say, right there, I stop the enemy. I stop offenses. I stop fear. I stop doubt and unbelief getting in my soul. I have to stop it because it'll pour red in there. And before you know it, you'll begin to doubt God. You'll begin to mum and complain. Why, God, why? And all that. God, if you were this, if you were that. These thoughts can go through your mind, you know. Anytime I don't talk to certain people that deal with terminal disease, and one of the first things they should come through, some of them told me, well, okay, God, why you let this happen to me? While I got this sickness, while I got this disease, the first one, they start want to blame God. But y'all, the more you walk in God, you will find out God requires us to do certain things. Yes, he do. Some sickness and disease is self-afflicted if we just tell the truth about it. Yeah, the enemy will bring it too. you know. And then some people say, well, you know, it's a generation curse. Now, I used to believe in generation curse, but I believe when I came in the kingdom, I was to redeem, according to Galatians, I will redeem from the curse of the law. When you go to Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, you read about the blessing, and then you read about the curses, where the Bible said Jesus hung on the tree, and that I was redeemed from the curse. But that do not, please hear me now, even though we've been redeemed from the curse, that don't mean the enemy ain't going to try to afflict us with a curse. Please hear me. And see, that's why it's so important we get in a Bible-believing church and we find out what is written so we can know how to apply the word. First thing first, you really need to develop a relationship with the Lord and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but so you can know what God say. When the enemy approached Jesus in the wilderness, Jesus stood on what was written. Ain't that amazing? He never changed. He never said how he felt and what he thought, but he just kept saying it was written. That let me know the only way that I can overcome and defeat the enemy is with what is written. I can't defeat him with what I feel and what I think, especially if what you feel and what you think is contrary to what God's word say. But anyway, I'm going to start it, like I said, at this time, like I said, those who trust sinners and themselves and in human resources are destined for disappointment, spiritually poverty, and utter loss. On the contrary, those who fully trust in the Lord, fully trust in the Lord will be blessed, unlimited reward with a godly inheritance. They would not fear or be anxious in any of life's circumstances because their root go deep into God. And there too again, you and I, we have to learn that. I had to learn, we all have to learn. I got to trust him. We have to learn what it means to trust God. We have to learn what it means to wait on God. Because like I said, you know, at first it was very disturbing to me why things turn out like they do. I didn't understand. And through me not understanding, instead of me just trusting God, I went on to figure out journey. You ever been on a figure out journey of trying to figure out things and try to understand? And on that journey, you don't get to the end of it. But what you mean? You don't find out. But I found out with God, and I was looking this morning when I was getting ready for this broadcast. I found out the Bible have a lot to say about trusting God. But what he was saying, what Jeremiah was saying in that fifth verse, he said, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusted in man and make it flesh his arm, other word his protection, and whose heart depart from the Lord. He was telling them right there, you need to trust in the Lord. And like I said, when it came down to John the Baptist, could it be that John had lost all, and he did, he lost focus, and he began to focus on the wrong thing. And that's what I'm saying, even with the disciple, when he told me, let's go to the other side, instead of them having confidence in this word. Now, they done seen him do all of these miracles and raising the dead. I mean, them disciples seen all of it. But then they allow. At the moment of our, and sometimes when suddenly stuff happens, that's when we have to really be on our, when suddenly fear take place, a suddenly sorrow happens. We have to really be on God. We have to really keep ourselves prepared because it can throw you a salute. I remember in 2022 when my baby brother went home to be with the Lord, and I had just spent time with him a week before, and he died from, you know. It broke my heart, but I watched at that time the enemy was trying to slip in and put overwhelmed grief. He was trying to scratch me out about it, and it was some things came up. But I thank God that I know that my brother was saved, and I kept thinking about it's appointed unto man once to die, and after the judgment. because the enemy was trying, well, if the doctor would have did, if they would have did this, if they would have did this and this and this, if you would have did this, if you would have said this. See, the enemy going to always try to trouble us. And she read that he was trying to contaminate my faith with doubt and unbelief. And y'all, these are some things that we need to be watchful for in these last days. Because if we keep our faith pure, and listen, it's my responsibility, it's your responsibility. Praying in your prayer language will help you. Studying the word of God will help you. But that's your responsibility. I'm in my amplifying. I'm coming in with this. In that fifth verse, Jeremiah 17:5, reading from the Amplified, it said, thus saith the Lord, cursed with great evil is the strong man who trusts in and rely on a frail man, making weak human flesh his arm, and whose mind and heart turned aside from the Lord. And we in that time, as Paul told them, that many departed from the faith. Listen, if you done turn your eyes off of God and you trusting in people, listen, I want you to know you need to refocus yourself and put your trust back in God. I'm finding out when certain illness happen to you or certain things happen to you in life, man don't have the solution to it, but God do. In God, we can have peace. I don't know how he do it, but God can give us peace when everything done went wrong, when everything seemed like it no good can come out of it. But you need to put your refocus. You need to repent for casting away your confidence. You know, the Bible says what is not of faith is sin. And, y'all, when we start believing and trusting God, and when we start allowing fear and offenses and doubt and unbelief that dominate us. I was on the phone with somebody a few minutes ago before I got on the broadcast, and they was upset about doing right. If I wouldn't have did this, if I wouldn't have did that, I said, don't let the enemy cause you. I said, don't let the enemy cause you to stop doing what's right. See, the Bible tells us that unbelievers, they're going to do certain things because they're being influenced by a spirit of disobedience. But we as born-again believers, we got to know, yes, the devil in my flesh is my main enemy. But guess what? Jesus done gave me authority over both. And I got to be consistent and steadfast and focus on and applying the word to my situation if I want to experience the victory. The victory that Jesus won for us, it don't happen automatically. It's certain things we got to do, y'all. And the part that we have to do is believe it and trust and hold it fast, keeping our confidence in the Lord and standing on. God said through Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6 chapter, he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of mine. He said, put on the whole armor of God because we ain't wrestling with flesh and blood. We got to forever be conscious of what's going on. But I'm going to read on because I'm coming in. And he said, and I swear, I'm going to drop down to the seventh verse. He said, most blessed is the man who believes in, trusts in, and rely on the Lord. Happy, the joy, the peace of a man who believes in, trusts in, all of those are plural, believes in, trusts in, and relies on the Lord. That means continually. That means to be persistent, be steadfast. We have to train ourselves. I got to believe and trust God every day. When a person go on the job, don't you know they trust every day that they're going to get a paycheck when it's time for the paycheck? They trust, and if they have medical insurance, that when they go to the doctor, they pull out that card and they reap the benefit. They have come. Well, we have to do the same thing. Even though before sickness occurred, but they got confidence, I done already took out some insurance, so I'm covered. Well, we got to get, when we get rooted and grounded in the word of God, when trouble show up unexpectedly, we can pull out the word and with confidence to say, God got this. Now, I'm not saying, and like I said, remember the least I'm afraid I would trust in, fear going to show up. But guess what? Don't let fear control you. That's the thing. Fear can control us. It can paralyze us. It can cause us to withdraw. It can cause us heartaches and pain. That's the point. Fear going to show up. I remember the late Tammy Sue Baker used to say, run to the Lord. Because I find, you know, some people fear the unknown, been down that road. We don't have to fear the unknown because we know who know the future. They used to sing the song, because he lived, I can face tomorrow. Okay, there too again, I'm going to stop right there. I just want to thank God. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for the Holy Spirit bringing accuracy and simplicity to the accuracy to the people and clarity. I give you praise for it right now, Father. I come against, I bind up the spirit of turmoil. I bind up the spirit of stressing, harassment that torment the people. I even come against the spirit of fear because of what's happening on the earth at this moment. I command peace, and I speak and release peace to your soul. I thank you for it now, Father. Even that person being tormented with pain, I rebuke that pain in your body right now in the name of Jesus. That pain that is crying out to you, that's causing you turmoil, I rebuke it and I bind it in the master's name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Again, this was Apostle William Miller. We're going to continue with this on Thursday. Ask the Lord willing, we're going to continue because we want to talk about keeping your faith pure and being able to recognize when the enemy was trying to contaminate our faith with fear. We talked about fear today and offenses, how the enemy used fear and offenses to contaminate their faith, and it caused them to overdose with unbelief and doubt. Enjoy the rest of your day.